The following service was recorded live on Sunday, March 26, 2017, at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Today is a beautiful Sunday morning. The sun reminds us of a fresh start, a fresh day, and the light of the Son of God. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, we come to you today to worship you, to thank you, and to share your goodness, to fellowship one with another, to be strengthened in the ties that bind us through your Spirit. As we come now, you are Spirit. Therefore, we must worship you in spirit and in truth. So let us now claim the promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be in their midst. As we worship you in the name of the living and loving Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
This morning is John 9, 1 through 41. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back and was able to see. neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, it's just someone that looks like him." But he kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept saying, "Then how were your eyes open?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was on a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. When the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight, he said to them, "He put mud in my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they asked again to the blind, said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes that were he opened." And the man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know not. We know that this is our son and that he was blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who may see become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. You say, 'We see,' your sins remain." The word of God for the people of God.
This is sermon number one in a two-part, covering the thought theme and maybe something you've thought about a little bit as it maybe applies to your neighbor's sin. Maybe we don't ever look in the mirror to see if we find that, but maybe we should. And it's quite a long story. It's actually one of the longest stories in the New Testament. 41 verses in this long, protracted story of this blind beggar. Now, this story has nobody's name in it except Jesus's. We don't know any of the actors. We don't know any of the people. We know the disciples are there initially. Then it seems that there's a lot of interaction going on, doesn't it? So, but it's interesting that as we come to this and we ask the question, sin with a question, and we want to kind of figure it out, maybe it would be useful for us as Christians to kind of figure out sin. What Maybe if we knew what sin was, we could check it off. Right? Maybe what we should do is get us a book. Yeah. Why don't we get us a book that tells us what sin is? That way we've got a written record, right? And then we can check it off. How many of you like to check your stuff off on a list? Man, I don't like to check. I like to draw a line through it. When I get it done, I like to check it off. So maybe we should get us a book. Maybe we should find a book that tells us about it and leads us to identify it. But I have to tell you, our book isn't so good to us, is it? Mine didn't come with squares, blocks for X's and O's, and I can't bubble anything in. That's the problem with this book, isn't it? The Jews, they thought they had it figured out. You see, they had made all the laws, and they knew what sin was. They knew that there were certain things that you could not do on their Sabbath day. They had the law cornered, and bless goodness, they had out the sin pen. And they had out their sin glasses, and they were constantly, these Pharisees were constantly on the watch for these sinners who violated the Sabbath especially. And it's always amazing to me, while they were out working to find the sinners, they didn't feel they were violating the Sabbath. So I kind of got to figure that one out, along the way. It's this, three and one deal. I'm talking about the oil. So here they are. They've got it all figured out, And we got Jesus. It's Sabbath day. Taking a walk through the country. Him and his buds, they're just kind of out for a stroll, it seems like, in the story. And he comes along. He says he's going along, just taking a walk. That wasn't too bad on the Sabbath. It looks to me like he was maybe going to or from the synagogue at this point, to or from the temple. And this guy's out. Sunday's not a day off for a beggar. You got to have bread on every day of the week. So he's out here, and he's a blind man. You picture him with the cup, don't you? Jing, 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 alms for the blind, alms for the blind, alms for the blind. And Jesus goes, And his disciples, did you see that question? It's a trap. It's a trap. And his own disciples try to get him with it. And it's funny, they say to him, Jesus, who sinned? Him or his parents? Not why is he blind? That was a given. The pen had already struck. He had already been judged by the temple as having been born in sin at birth. And his blindness was God's judgment upon that sin. So the disciples want to know, who do we blame for this mess? Who do we blame for this sin thing? And Jesus says, what do you mean? Me, he didn't do it. His mom and dad didn't do it. This was done so God's work could be revealed. Now, have you ever been around blind people? They got good ears, don't they? I mean, they can hear you thinking. It's really scary. They can hear you breathe. They can tell what you had for lunch by your breath. Every sense is heightened because the one is missing. Can you imagine this blind man when Jesus goes, hey! And spits on the ground? This blind man heard that, didn't he? And the next thing he knows, somebody's putting mud on his eyes. It didn't take a brain surgeon to figure out where that mud came from, did it? This boy, I can't see him, and I don't know him. He just put spit mud on my eyes. And he says, go to the pool called Siloam, which means sent, and wash. Wash your eyes. He did, and what happens? Bingo, bango, we got a healing going on, right? This blind man can see. What happens? He goes, what are you going to do if you're blind and now you can see? You're going to go tell people, aren't you? They didn't believe him, did they? No, this ain't him. This is just somebody that kind of looks like him. This is an imposter. We don't believe you. You've been defrauding us all along. You could have been working, but you've been sitting over there jingling that cup, alms for the poor. You're a crook. Let's take him down to the temple. That's what they did. And they take him down to the temple. The temple's, yeah. Is this him? We don't believe it either, didn't they? Yeah. And they question him. They quiz him. How'd this happen? He said, you know, I don't really know. I didn't get to see the guy. You know, I was blind. You know, I didn't get to see. But I tell you, he made some mud, put it on my eyes, and I went wash. I could see. I don't know anything else about him. But I can see. I know I was blind, but now I can see. Oh, well, you don't believe that. Go get his mom and daddy. And they waffle. Did you see that? Pass the buck. Eh, he's old enough. You ask him about that. We don't want to get our church membership dirty. You know, we don't want to take any chances here that we might get excommunicated. You know, it's been hard enough having this blind boy for a kid. You know, it's been a mess all along. Now he's out of that mess. He can see, he can figure his way out of the next mess he's in, which is they don't believe him. He's a liar. Because you see, in Jewish law, we have this today. And the one thing we've learned, eyewitnesses aren't very reliable. Have you ever noticed that? You know, if you watch a car wreck, five people watch it, five opinions are formed. You know, five different things happen, you know, somewhere in there. This is where we get the term eyewitness, because he didn't see anything. So now they're quizzing the man again, and I love it. Did you read his response? Did you hear it in there? I just love it. I done told you this once. I'm not telling you again. Do you want to be his disciples? I bet them Pharisees, yeah, I bet you could have knocked them over with a feather. I bet they almost vapor locked. Do you want to be one of his disciples? And then they launch into him for sure now. But he comes back and says, you know, I find it funny. You're the religious leaders of the day, and this man does this, and you don't know about him? You don't know about him? So they kick him out of the temple. Jesus goes and finds him. He says, tell me, you know, you didn't know who Jesus was. Hadn't seen him yet, remember? And Jesus says, I am he. Do you believe? And he said, yes. And he worshiped him. I read this story over and over and over. I've read it. I actually preached on this thing. If you take notes, I preached on this. If you'll go back 3 years ago, it's a 3-year cycle in the lectionary. Been here before. And something jumped off the page at me. Let's talk about sin. The first sin and the only sin that's unrepentable is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's what our book says. You could check that one off. Got you a nice little check mark for that one. Write that one down. Do you know why it's unforgivable? Because you won't repent. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's unbelief that is the greatest sin. Unbelief stands in the way of God's blessings in your life, in the lives of your families, in the lives of our communities, in the lives of our nation. It's that unbelief. Unbelief, number one, beginning that Jesus is the Son of God. Savior, Redeemer, Lord, Messiah. It begins with that. This blind man got it, didn't he? He said, I do believe. The religious guys didn't get it. First sin is unbelief. The second one is not believing that Jesus could do what Jesus can do. They didn't believe Jesus could make this man able to see. They didn't believe in the divine power of God through Jesus to make a blind man able to see. They didn't believe in the power of Jesus as the Son of God, to not only take away the physical affliction, but to give this person a new life. So what is sin? The sin is, in this whole text, is about being spiritually blind to Christ and the world around us. The Pharisees didn't get it. The disciples did. You see, they did what we like to do sometimes, and that's, who do I blame for this? Who's the scapegoat? Where can I put the blame? Have you noticed how the world likes to do that? Have you watched it any on television lately? We couldn't do this because of them. Scapegoating. Man, Mike, can I pick on you for just a minute? You know Mike's the sheriff, and you just got to pick on him when he's handy. Do you have any guilty people down at the jail? But it's somebody else's fault, isn't it, always? The mamas, daddies, you know, aunts, uncles, societies. Yeah, they're sat there, you know. And I remember a story, Ashby Robson, former sheriff of McDowell County. There was three brothers, and they were known thieves, and one of them was caught breaking into elementary school. And the reason he got caught was when he went in. How many of you remember the old day when the school windows were on that little pivot? When he climbed through the window, it pivoted and pinned him, and he couldn't get out. And his legs were sticking out one side, and the police officer, making a nightly round, found him hanging in the window, half in, half out. So he goes to court. And this guy had been to court a dozen times, and finally it gets him up, and the guy says, you know, I caught him going through the window, you know, and all this stuff, and dead to rights and all that stuff. And he said, and the judge looks at him and says, well, officer, you've charged this man many times. What makes this time any different? And the officer said, well, sir, he's always outlied us up until now. Did you get it? He's outlied us. Truth. It's about truth. It's about owning it. It's about the truth. You can't do anything with it until it's yours. How many of you ever financed a car? Was it your car? Not yet. Not hardly. So were there some requirements for you when you had that car financed? Yeah. You had to keep insurance and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They had to know where it was in case you didn't pay, you know, all that stuff. But once it's yours, guess what? You can do with it what you want to, can't you? Until it's yours and not somebody else's. You can't do much with it. Until an alcoholic will say, I'm an alcoholic, they'll never find help. There'll always be an excuse. The same's for drug addict, sex addicts, and child abusers. You know my history, don't you? Maybe a little bit. I don't think my mama liked me a lot growing up. She broke all my fingers. That's why they're kind of, they don't, you know, they're not very straight. They still work pretty good, but burn me with irons, you know. I don't know if you ever had these, but we had a cast iron when he sat on the cook stove. And if you needed to do a little quick something, you always had a hot iron ready. And that was one of their favorite things. So I hold it up to my face and say, you want me to put a mark on you, boy? I'll mark you up. How about you ever had a cigarette put out in you? Huh? It was really fun. Daddy whipped me so bad one time with a tray strap. Anybody know what a tray strap is? It's what goes from the bridle on the mule or horse back, and that's what you pull, go G and A, whoa, yep, you know, all that stuff.
It's a half inch wide and quarter inch thick piece of stiff, hard leather. He whooped me with one of those things, whooped me. I'm using good Southernism there. Isn't I? And you ever had a whooping? It's a lot different from a spanking. There's a lot. I had to stand up at school because my clothes were sticking to me. So I should abuse my children, right? Because that's what happened to me, right? My daddy could cuss and eat at the same time. It was remarkable. I mean, he wouldn't even spit cornbread more than 8 or 10 inches. That's what supper was like at my house. It was a time to chew everybody out for what hadn't been done that day. So that's what we should do, right? Because we were treated a certain way, that's how we should treat others, right? Jesus says, what? Love those who use you. You got to own it, church. It ain't somebody else's fault, and I'm so tired of our society today blaming everything and everyone for the stuff they need to fix themselves. Clean your own porch off, get your own life in order, take charge of the sin in your life, and let a loving God clean it up. Let him do what this blind man had, a life changed. Walk away from, but you can until you own it. Until you admit you're at fault, you can't fix it. Until it belongs to you, you can't confess it. Until it belongs to you, until you realize you're the one that's blind, he can't open your eyes. But you know what struck me the most? I want to close this because this is part one. I'm not done. Sorry, you got to come back next week if you want to. Part two, or you can get the recordings, I guess, or listen to it on the website. By the way, you do know our messages and stuff are up on the website? Yeah, log on the website. It's in your bulletin. Also notice a brand new email address for the church is there too, so kind of get caught up on that. There's a plug for that. But there was something else about this text that has bothered me and bothered me. Here's a man born blind from birth, who receives his sight, and nobody was happy about it. There was no joy in the disciples. There was no joy in the Pharisees. There was not even joy by his mom and dad. There was no rejoicing in his community. There was nobody that said your life has changed. There was nobody that encouraged him. There was nobody that even accepted him. They didn't believe him. And all of this stuff, instead of finding a new life, he found more of the same after he could see that he'd experienced while he was blind. Do we really believe that God can change a life in Jesus? Then let's let him. If somebody was blind, lost in sin, and God saves them, let's let that be. You see, the problem is we don't really believe people change much, do we? Maybe we've gotten a little cynical there. Pastor, I believe they change, and I'll watch and see. Yeah, we'll see. Why don't we encourage them? Somebody should have went up to this blind man and said, hey, man, I'm glad you can see. I'm glad now that you can go to work next week. I'm glad now the corner's empty down there where you were. I'm glad you can see the world around you. Man, come and look. I got some butterflies down on the corner. You just need to see. Flowers, you need to go see. Nobody did it. Church, when a sinner is saved and they walk away from that old life, we as the church have to embrace them and receive them and show them what that new life can be like. Instead of sitting like fossils, waiting to see if they fall, we need to lift them up. Maybe we need to read our book a little more. Jesus says to do that. Paul says to do that, to bring them along. To bring them along. How many of you remember the civil rights movement?
Anybody? That was one of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King said, was don't leave them behind. Bring them along. Do you know why we exist as a church? To bring them along. Folks, this is not a warehouse for saints. This is a hospital for sinners. And none of us get above that calling and that place. We were all blind, but I hope now we can see. We were all lost, but I hope now we're all saved. We were all sinners, and we're still... How many of you are perfect? I just need to check in. How many of you expect others to be? Different question, right? Yeah. Don't expect perfection. We should expect some progression. Why don't we celebrate those lives that get changed and encourage them along the way? I'm thankful every day for grace in my life. I'm thankful every day that God lets me see some little things. I do a lot of funerals. Did one, two, I lost track of it. I think three this past week, two or three. I kind of got lost. I've got another one tomorrow. And this one lady, she was about, just a whole, her husband passed away. And I had never saw this woman before. Didn't know. I'm trying not to get all messed up here. Talk on the phone. Find out something I can say about the husband. You know, you should try this sometime. It's not so fun. And I meet this woman at the funeral home about 30 minutes before the service. We've got to get the music lined up, you know, and they've brought it on a CD, and the CD won't play, but somebody else has it on a phone, and we're, you know, clock's ticking, and she shows up, and I'm kind of back. How many of you have been to Vases? You come in the door, you turn left, you go into the chapel, or you go straight kind of down. You can go up the steps or around them and go back in there. Well, back in there is where that music thing's at. And this little woman, and I'm not kidding, she was not taller than 4'8" or 4'9", just this little wisp of a woman, long gray hair and a ponytail. She introduces me, and I hear her, and I know who it is. And she said, "Thank you. You don't know us, but thank you for being willing to do this for us. Thank you for not judging us because we don't go to church." And she gave me the biggest hug, kind of down here kind of hug. And if you look on my coat, I got makeup still on. I will leave it on it. Grace. Grace. Grace forgives our sins and others along the way. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. What is sin? Sometimes it's a tool the devil can use to separate us from God's love and grace. What is sin? Sometimes it's that which we do that we're judged for, sure. But we need to remember grace. Grace for us and grace for others. We need to sometimes help people own it and celebrate when they give it up. We need to love as we have been loved and forgive as we've been forgiven. We need to remember that we don't get above it. We just get among it with Christ's help. Oh, I've seen him change some lives, church. Mine's one of them. I've seen him open eyes of the worst reprobates that we could ever see and change that life.
We need to give him a chance and support him when they go with him. That's our call, church, to make disciples. He says to go and to teach. Teach them to keep all of the things that I've commanded you. It's a process. It's a process. It begins and it continues. Pastor, there's some stuff in my life. I just want you to pray for me. It's just going on. If that's you this morning, I just want to lift you up this week. Slip your hand up and right back down. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I feel like I'm sometimes condemned for the things I've done and not forgiven, especially by others. Pray for me that I can let that go. If that's you, slip your hand up and amen. Pastor, I sometimes feel judged, horribly judged by other people. Pray for me that I'll have strength to be like this blind man and say, I was blind, but now I can see. Slip your hand up, and I'll pray for you this week. Pastor, everything's pretty good, so I want to pray for others. If you'll do that, would you slip your hand up this morning? Oh, gracious and loving God, may you hear our hearts and prayers today as we lift them before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What is it? That which Jesus died to redeem us from. It doesn't hold us captor or victim anymore. But Christ redeems us, brings us through it, and gives us new life and others too. May we go to know that new life which is in Christ Jesus. May we share that light and love that is His in the world around us. May we be His hands and His feet, His kindness and His mercy to others we meet. May Christ so empower us by His Spirit that we can live in grace and love as He has loved us, to forgive as we have been forgiven. May He so empower us to live. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.